Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a young man who grew up here in Jessamine County. His name was Jarrett Minear. At the age of 2.5, they discovered he had bone cancer, and at 13 years old, he passed. But before he did, he established, along with his parents, Jarrett's Joy Cart. And it continues to this day to give special things to kids in need here in Kentucky. We'll talk to his mother, Jennifer, about Jarrett's life and the contribution he made in those short 13 years to our town and our state and even our nation. Right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn things about our county. Now, most of our shows, as you know, have to do with the history of Jessamine County, and some of that history is quite old. But today we are going to talk about, well, it's something that's been happening for a while, but it's not old history. It's modern day. We like to do that also on this program. With me today is Jennifer Minear, and she is here today. You may recognize that last name because it is associated with a great civic organization that her son kind of came up with the idea and started. His name was Jarrett. Now, Jarrett is not with us any longer. We're going to talk about him and what happened to him, but Jarrett's Joy Cart is known all over this area of the country and beyond, I'm sure, and the work that it does for children. Good morning. Glad to have you.
Good morning, Doug. Good to be here.
We want to talk about how this all happened and what it does for the good of the community, but we need to start by telling a little bit about you and your family and him. First off, how did it come about that this family would end up in Nicholasville?
Well, the funny thing is, we had, when our family was growing, we were looking around for homes and loved the area mm-hmm. in Jessamine County. We wanted the opportunity to have a larger yard. My husband grew up on a farm in Nicholas County. Even though I grew up in Louisville, we were next door to a 7-acre truck garden. So I liked land
right.
and lots of opportunities. So we found a home in a wonderful development and have a nice big acre for the kids used to play, and we kind of have our sanctuary there.
Now, were you all working in this area of the country to lead you to this town?
Well, we met in Lexington. Doug and I met in Lexington. Mm-hmm. We did not meet in school. We both went to UK, mm-hmm. but we were both in our professions. My husband's an engineer, and I was in teaching special education okay. at the time in Fayette County, and lived right on the edge of Fayette County, Jessamine County. I can remember our house backed up to what is now Man of War near the intersection of Man of War and Harrodsburg Road. I can remember walking the dirt path, which is now Man of War,
wow.
and thinking what that was going to be like when it was developed. So we love this part of the area and wanted to stay as close in this area as possible.
Okay.
So when we found a home in Jessamine County, we just were thrilled. So.
Now, when would that have been?
This was, let me think, probably 23 years ago we moved to
So prior to Jarrett being born.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've all lived. No, actually, it was prior to our daughter Claire.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, yeah, it was 22 years ago. So we're 22, 23. Sorry.
Okay. Well, and
years escape me after a while.
It happens
but
easy.
Well, the kids were little when we moved to.
Okay. And I might say, too, because you mentioned him, your husband's name is Doug.
Yes, it is.
Okay, because
yes,
when you said that, I kind of looked like
yeah,
you.
I'm sorry.
Then I realized, well, wait a minute, you're talking about him.
Yeah, we've been married 33 years.
Great. Mm-hmm. So you had your home, you came to Nicholasville, and with you, you brought this special little kid mm-hmm. named Jarrett. Now, Jarrett was born in 1989.
Yes.
And it was a normal kid, just typical little boy, I bet.
He was completely healthy. All our friends' children had all kinds of issues with ear infections mm-hmm. and all those sorts of things. And he never had a problem. He was the happiest child. He was very, very articulate, which turned out to be a blessing in many ways.
Yeah.
I had just found out that I was 2 months pregnant with our now daughter, who is 25.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at a football game, at a high school football game, and Jared complained that his leg was bothering him. And that was unusual. He had been playing, nothing unusual, just being himself,
right.
going to preschool.
Huh.
The next day, he and his dad and the neighbors played T-ball in the backyard, had a good time that evening. He said, well, it's kind of bothering me. So I said, we're going to take it easy. He was only 2 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I said, we're going to take it easy. And then on Monday, if it's still bothering you, mm-hmm. I'm going to call the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, Sunday morning, I got him out of bed, went to pick him up and put him on the floor. And he yelled out, ouch, my leg hurts. And I put my hand on his leg, and it was hot.
Gracious.
On his shin. And that was the start of a nightmare. We called the pediatrician immediately, went to the hospital, to Central Baptist at the time, and they started scans. The next day, on Monday, we had a biopsy and a diagnosis. And on Wednesday, we were headed to Mayo Clinic. Now, this was many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This was 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So back at that point, Children's Hospital was a different place,
right.
Kentucky Children's Hospital. And the interesting thing was, when everything was communicated at Mayo Clinic, they felt like the doctors at Kentucky Children's Hospital were perfectly capable of handling
mm-hmm.
it. They would work in tandem together. So we were going back and forth to from UK, Mayo Clinic, had to go back to Mayo for an amputation of his lower right leg. Then UK took up everything from there. Kentucky Children's Hospital, as an aside, I believe so much in what has happened there from day one, how it has evolved, that I'm actually on the development council for Kentucky Children's Hospital.
So it turned out it was bone cancer.
It was Ewing sarcoma, which they told us at Mayo Clinic, Jarrett was actually one of the youngest children ever diagnosed at that time. He was 2 and a half.
Had there ever been any history of this in your family?
No, there is no hereditary factor with Ewing sarcoma.
Oh, really? It just
happens.
It is
strictly a chromosomal switch.
So it is something he was born with.
Yes.
And it just showed up at that age.
They said it was an unfortunate fluke.
From what you just said, he'd be the youngest. So evidently, with people shows up, they're older
it's
than that.
Typically, and this was, as I say, 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, the statistics have broadened at this point. At that point in time, they were saying typically it's between age 8 and 21.
Wow. And two and a half.
Typically, males now, unfortunately, those statistics are changing and broadening.
So you find out, you have this little boy that's 2 and a half,
mm-hmm.
and you find out he has this bone cancer while you're pregnant. You're newly pregnant.
Yes.
2 months.
Yes.
And so you have to deal with this and this child. And having, as we've talked, and I've gone through this year with my wife, a form of cancer, and never have I had to go through it that intimately. I've had it with mm-hmm. people in our family, but not like this. And you go through the chemo and all that stuff. I guess he had bone marrow transplants.
Yes.
You said he lost mm-hmm. his lower right leg.
Yes.
Is that right?
So we learned how to use a prosthesis and all the radiation.
And in the meantime, your other child is born.
Yes. We had to schedule the C-section for Claire around Jarrett's chemo treatments.
And Claire has been a full-time job, too.
Yes. Because of all of the issues during pregnancy with stress, the doctors have explained that it's basically adrenaline and epinephrine flooding because of the stress level that I was under. We had actually just buried my father 15 months from before Jarrett was diagnosed. He'd had a 4-year battle with cancer, and I helped care for him. And then this happened, and you think you're doing okay,
mm-hmm.
but you only have mm-hmm. so much control over what your body's
doing.
So Claire is a an amazing young woman, but she unfortunately was born with various challenges,
right.
Developmental delays, obsessive compulsive, autism spectrum, you name it. We have the, what I, as a former special ed teacher, used to call the alphabet soup. But she is amazing and just
how old is she
flourishing
now?
She's 25.
25.
Yes.
Well, she comes in the family. Of course, she's brand new. She's
actually
a baby.
24. Excuse me. She'll correct me.
Yeah. And you raise this boy with going through all these treatments and all this kind of stuff. At what point in time did this young man decide, I want to do something, and I'm getting to the joy card now? How did that come about?
The interesting thing is, from day one with Jarrett, he always, always was looking out for others. And actually, the nurses would kind of jockey for position to get to be the one to take care of him that day when he would come into the clinic or when he was in the hospital. They would tell me the stories about who got to, you know, some of them would come in early, so they'd make sure they got that name first to take care of. He always had a way of looking out for other people. As I say, he was very, very articulate and had such a very unusual sense at a young age of other people and how they were feeling, how they were doing.
Yeah.
He actually was, from that young age, asked to talk to other patients and their parents about possible surgeries. Mm-hmm. What's radiation like? What would a prosthesis be like? All those sorts of things. And he always was worried about the other patients and how they were doing. And through his first transplant, that was a recurrence, and we were sent straight to the Hutchinson Institute in Seattle. And he, even there, at 5 years old, they put him on a panel, asked for him to be on a panel to talk about the experiences as a transplant patient. Everybody else was an adult, and he was five. when they were doing his pre-transplant testing, they were doing neurocognitive testing to see the effects of the radiation and the chemo on intelligence and processing abilities. The clinical psychologist actually stopped the testing. She said he can go much further than he has, but I feel like we've just gone so much further than it's ethical to ask a five-year-old to test. He topped out at 146 IQ.
Wow.
At that point, and she said he could have gone further. And he noticed one of the things that on the transplant floor, these lovely ladies would come around with a cart once a week with little bitty things, just nice little things. And Jarrett was so excited about that, that the irony was that he was getting shipments of toys and gifts from all over the place. His room in our little apartment we had was full of stuff. And he just talked about how excited that made him. Most of the things he never really even opened. He just couldn't wait for those ladies to come and talk to him and see him.
Yeah.
And that carried with him. So flash forward from age five, and he went back to UK, to Kentucky Children's Hospital, back to talking to families. When he was in for his second transplant, he had a secondary cancer that was pre-leukemia condition called myelodysplasia as a result of all of his chemo and radiation. And Claire was his bone marrow donor.
Really?
She was six and he was nine, and she insisted. We were not going to do it, and she insisted. And he actually was cured of myelodysplasia.
Oh, my gosh, by his sister.
Yes.
Because, you know, as we were sitting here talking, and you were talking about him looking out for people.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that through all of his pain, I'm sure, and all of the discomfort he had, I bet you, I started to say to you, I bet you he was a great big brother.
Oh, yeah.
But she actually turned around
she
and
did.
Was actually to help. How neat is that?
And we were my husband and I, Doug, were talking about the issue and what we were going to do with myelodysplasia at that time. a successful transplant. Bone marrow transplant was the only cure.
Yeah.
And we really felt like this was just more than we could ask of her. And she overheard us and came downstairs and said, if that's going to help my Buzzy, which was her nickname for him, I'm going to do it.
And that made her feel good.
It did. And she'd grown up in the hospital,
unfortunately.
She trusted the people there. She trusted the doctors. She'd known them since she was little bitty. And it was amazing.
Wow.
And while he was in that transplant, he was one of the last children who was actually transplanted at Markey. And he was in his room, closed in the room for 38 days. He could not leave the room. Was in very, very, very serious shape. But one of the days he said, I've been worrying about the kids over at the children's hospital. And I want to do something. I want you to talk to me about this. I want to do a plan and have a gift cart and a toy cart and come up with something so I can give the kids something to look forward
to. And the idea was born that day.
Absolutely. That day in the room, looking out the window, watching the world for 38 days.
Wow.
And he said, I want to do this. You're not going to say no, of course.
Sure.
So my husband and I talked about it. He shared it with friends that came to visit, and he could not go back to school immediately. You have to wait 3 months and let your immune system build back up. So he was a student at Rosenwald Dunbar and came up with a business plan. He developed his goals, his objectives. He called people in the community that he knew.
How old would he have been then?
Nine.
9 years old, man.
Yes. He had been an unofficial spokesperson for the Lexington Dream Factory, which is a phenomenal all-volunteer organization that helps kids have dreams all over this part of the state. And he was used to the media. He made his plan with them. He had met wonderful leaders in the community, talked with them, and one of them, Ralph Coldiron, actually was on the founding board of Kentucky Children's Hospital and set up a meeting for him with the board of directors of the hospital. And he wouldn't let me go in the meeting, so I'm not quite sure exactly what he said. But in the meeting, the board voted to approve for this, for them to let him go to the floor and visit the kids. And unfortunately now, I don't know with all the HIPAA compliance if the joy cart would even have been possible the way it started. But the rest is history.
And it was just passing out toys, basically.
That was it at the beginning. That was it.
You know, it's a double-edged sword.
Now, let me correct you, though. He would get very frustrated when people would say, oh, you're the boy that gives out toys. And he would say, no, I'm the boy that gives out joy. The toy is a way to
connect.
It's
a vehicle. It's the vehicle to pass the joy around.
And it's 0 to 18-year-olds. So we see kids with every kind of anything. We've even seen snake bites. We see.
It doesn't have to be cancer. Anything.
No. Trauma, unfortunately. Even the abuse cases, the neglect cases, the cystic fibrosis, organ transplants, burns, anything, you name it, we see those kids. And the frequent flyers, we call them, the kids that have chronic illnesses, they count on it. And we have doctors that get very frustrated sometimes in a funny way. They'll say, Jennifer, I had another one in my office crying because I wasn't admitting them until Wednesday for their care plan, and they wanted to be in Tuesday night.
For the cart.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, it's kind of a double-edged sword. With his thoughts at 9 years old to do this, it is very sad that we'll never know what he could have accomplished as an adult with that kind of mind. On the other hand, if he had not had this disease, chances are you wouldn't have found out about this brain thought at 9 years old.
No.
So it's amazing to think about where he could have been, but how did he get there? So he does this. He obviously enjoys it because he wants to do it. And it's all these kids. He is actually seeing these children while in his own pain and his own discomfort. He is seeing these children smile and as he said, have joy. This was at age 9. This went on to four years, I guess.
Yes.
And finally at 13
and a half, he lost his battle.
Yeah.
Yes. and October 4th, 2002. And one of the things the week, he never talked about losing the battle other than several brief statements. Mm-hmm. And the last week he was alive, he said, told me he wanted me to sit down. His dad was at work and Claire was at school. And he said, I've got a list I want you to take care of. And you and Dad to take care of. And one of the things was to promise him that we would keep the joy cart going.
He knew it was coming. He knew the end was coming.
He did.
And was ready.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he was ever ready.
Really?
No. But I think he was resigned to the fact.
It was going to happen.
Yeah.
He was cognizant enough to get all this list together.
Absolutely.
And to know what he needed done.
Yes. Yes, there were certain people that he wanted to make sure that we talked to, and there were certain subjects he wanted to be addressed, and the joy cart, he was very worried about Claire, and he said, I need to be taking care of her. And that was the thing when the doctor came to talk to him one night and explained that they went so far above and beyond. He had experimental treatments that were not even approved. They did everything they could. And when the doctor told him that they had done everything they could, the first thing out of his mouth was, I can't go. I have to be here for Claire.
Did you ever think in your life you'd ever raise a kid that compassionate?
No, never, never, never. It's just incredible. And he was wise beyond his years.
Sure.
And really, you know, people would say, oh, my goodness, you all raised such an amazing child. He was much larger than what we could honestly take credit for as parents. And it's, you know, it's in retrospect, it was kind of like having a tiger by the tail.
Yeah.
He was never disrespectful. He wasn't a saint. He, you know, he would get aggravated with Claire.
Sure.
He would get aggravated with us and argue and, you know, carry on. But I would have been worried to pieces if he didn't.
He's human.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
He could sit down and play Legos and G.I. Joes with one of his friends. And then 2 days later, he's in Washington meeting some of the leading senators in the country and giving presentations in the Supreme Court reception room at 10 years old, trying to explain to a room full of senators and adult volunteers from around the country and some celebrities that were there that the topic was the state of volunteerism. And he got up to grab the microphone and I thought, oh boy, what's he going to say? And he said, I want the nation to understand that the youth in this country want to do things to help other people. You as adults need to give us your support, give us the opportunities to be creative, and give us the encouragement that we need to move forward with these things, and we can do a lot more with your help.
Wow.
And everybody, just everybody's mouth dropped.
I guess.
Absolutely mouths dropped.
Wise beyond his years.
Yes.
You know, the great thing about the joy cart is that after all these years, not only has it continued to give out the joy, it's done it in so many other ways. You afforded me some information here about some things that this thing has really blossomed into things other than just pushing
Tuesday
a cart around.
We are about much more than Tuesday nights.
And I honestly, you know, I've heard of joy. I've heard of it. Since it's
17 years.
Yeah, all these years. But I never really realized, and if you don't mind, I'll just read a couple of things here that's just pretty amazing. The archery program at a camp horsing around.
Yes, we sponsor that.
The therapy games to help patients with coping skills. Backpacks filled with items for patients after hours. Guest entertainment for the hospital. That's just a few of the things, folks.
Just
and I want to tell people before I forget it. Thejoycart.com, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Thejoycart.com. If you want to learn more, and we'll do it right now at this point, if you want to learn more about this and even maybe how you can help, go to that website, thejoycart.com. You can read more about Jarrett and all that they are doing. He has been gone since 2002.
Yes.
14 years almost. What do you think he'd say? What do you think if he could, just for 5 minutes right now, could be in your presence and see this?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he'd say?
With his personality, he would say, thank you for keeping it going, but this is what I expected. What are you going to do now? That's exactly what he would say.
Really?
What are you going to do now? There's more to do. He had a sense of urgency that to try to make sure that kids did not, in all sorts of situations, we have focused on medically fragile kids or kids that are in medical situations, mm-hmm. whether it's in the outpatient clinic, the hospital, other programs that are provided by those venues. But he saw the need. One of the other things, which is off topic, but one of the other things on his list that he had that last week was to help with the clinic. Mm-hmm. So we, in memoriam, we did a donations in lieu of flowers, et cetera, et cetera,
right.
to a fund to help what we thought was just buy some new IV pumps, some mm-hmm. new comfortable chairs, mm-hmm. things for the pediatric hematology oncology outpatient clinic. That turned into $840,000 speaking around this part of the state. And we were able to build in the Kentucky clinic at that time, state-of-the-art mm-hmm. New outpatient clinic for that department. After that, I kept hearing Jarrett saying, okay, so what now? So what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
And another labor of love turned into Dance Blue, which is at the University
yeah,
of Kentucky.
Yeah, with all the yes. all bunches of
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A friend from the university and I introduced it to the
yeah.
students,
yeah.
thanks to her daughter, who went to Penn State, where we got the idea. Mm-hmm. And it's getting ready to go into its 12th year. They've already had the leadership since 2 weeks after last Dance Blue in February last year.
You know, as a parent, I know, I'm sure I know, there are a lot of things that you would gladly give back to have him.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You would. But could you be any prouder?
No.
You know, we have talked on this program in a lot of ways, a lot of times, about the ripple effect,
mm-hmm.
about the things that you do today that may have an effect on somebody 30 years from now, and you may not even know it. My gosh, how many ripples has this child caused?
It's incredible. And the thing that people thankfully understand, but we're always sensitive to, is this is not about Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about keeping Jarrett's name out there in front, anything like that. This is about the way in which he lived and what he expected
yeah.
of himself and others. The thing that, you know, we had people would stop. We couldn't go out in public hardly without somebody
sure.
stopping him.
Sure.
And it was difficult when he wasn't feeling well, but he was always
right.
tried to be as gracious
right.
as he could. And one lovely person one day said, "You are just a hero." And he said, "No, ma'am, I'm doing what we're expected to do. We're here to take care of each other."
He got it.
Yeah, he got it.
But because he got it, many people have
yes.
have had a lot of happiness
yes.
and a lot of joy.
We're over 40,000 just with the Tuesday nights.
Well, and a lot of those kids that he helped are
yep.
no longer with us. But
nope.
while they were here, they and their families, through that, received a lot of joy. And you, of course, you know, I was not pleasure to know him. But from what you've said this morning, even though he wants you to do more,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would have to be proud of what you all have done.
I'd like to think so. There's
yeah.
some, we can't do it. I mean, Doug and I can't do this by ourselves.
You,
we
right.
have a phenomenal board of directors. We have a wonderful team of volunteers, not to mention people literally across the country
mm-hmm.
that make donations mm-hmm. to make these things
and they're
possible.
To be thanked greatly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is what makes it work. And
right.
the beautiful thing is it's children having their birthday parties in honor of the joy cart
mm-hmm.
and it's individuals contacting us from across the country saying, I've been looking around on websites. I wanted to make a donation. Mm-hmm. I found your website, and I want to talk to you for a minute. And I really am called to feel like I want to make a donation.
Sure.
So we have, that's the beautiful thing. It's not somebody handing me a, you know, $100,000 check and we go off. And it is absolutely any age, any financial backing, anybody.
Sure.
And that's what makes this, to me, so special.
And we want to once again tell people, if you're listening and you want to do anything to help, this is not just for children with cancer. It could be any disease, asthma, I guess cystic
any
fibrosis,
injuries,
anything.
Any child that is facing something, a medical challenge, and is treated at Kentucky Children's Hospital,
this will help.
Kentucky Clinic, and you can make donations online.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Facebook page. It is Jarrett's Joy Cart - Central KY.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we even do Kroger cards. We
do
Amazon Smile.
Sure.
We have many different ways. We honestly really appreciate any donation anybody can make.
Mm-hmm.
Financial donations allow us to continue some of the programming that we're doing. It's not just about the Tuesday nights, as we're trying to get people to understand now. We just purchased iPads with protective cases for the forensics program. Unfortunately, the issue with abused children in this state has gotten to a point where Kentucky Children's Hospital now actually has a department that specializes in that. We're getting ready to get involved with the palliative care program.
Mm-hmm.
We have what we call the HEAP program, which is health, education, and empowerment through play, where we provide for the different specialty clinics, the cardiology, pulmonary, endocrinology that treats diabetes, renal, which treats the kidney patients.
Mm-hmm.
We have anatomically correct organs that are stuffed that are really cute, but we also provide age-appropriate books, games, reading materials that help the children understand the challenges that they're facing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we learned firsthand with Jarrett, and after thousands and thousands of patients we've seen over the years, is that through, you know, the old saying, with information there comes power.
Right.
Well, children have a much greater success rate when they understand what it is that they're facing. They have a greater success rate of compliance with their treatment plan, with therapies, hopefully with outcomes as humanly possible as it can be.
Yeah.
So we're providing those things for the different specialty clinics to help these kids.
It's amazing work.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
A bit of everything. It's a lot of work, but we've got some amazing volunteers and students from UK helping us. Students from high schools contact me and say, what can we do to help?
You said, and I understand what you mean when you say this is not a way just to memorialize Jarrett.
No.
But we have a question that we use on this program quite often. And when I ask this of people, sometimes it's kind of a hard question for them. As his mom, what's a word to you that would describe Jarrett?
That is a tough one. That is a tough one. Huge-hearted.
Yeah. And that's evident.
Mm-hmm.
Any 9-year-old kid that would come up with the idea of some kind of plan to help other people is not just intelligent. He's huge-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be. And to care that it continues, knowing that his time is coming and is over, to continue. And really, that was the absolute, one of the most important things to him,
wasn't it?
That this continue on.
Yes.
And mom and dad, this is what you have to do. Take care of my sister and take care of everybody else.
Yes.
Compassionate has to go along with that word, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're very lucky.
Yes.
You're very lucky.
We know. We know.
You know, all of us that are fortunate enough to have children who are healthy are very lucky. But I shouldn't say it that way. You know, we're lucky to have healthy children. Your children weren't healthy and Jarrett wasn't healthy, but you were awful lucky to have him.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, a blessing, of course.
Yes.
We want people to help you. And if you, again, want to do this in any way, you can look at thejoycart.com. There's all kinds of ways you can help. And as Jennifer has told you, it doesn't have to be a $500,000 check. It can
that would
be
nice.
It'd be nice. But, you know, if you just want to volunteer, there's probably something they can find for you to do. And if you want to, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can help. But go to that website. Lots of good information there. And we are very proud that we can claim that this is one of Jessamine County's own.
Absolutely.
Even though you lived here and you made this your home, and we are proud to be able to say that he and your daughter and your husband are a part of our town.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
My thanks to Jennifer Minear for coming in and sharing the story of her family, and especially her son, and what he has contributed to our world. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning, too, to listen to All Things Jessamine. We hope to have another great show for you next week here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.